Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Rad Reality Show. It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this November 3rd of 2011. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your host tonight, along with Paul from Minnesota. How are you tonight, Paul?
I am doing well, and especially well. I apologize, but I have muted on my TV screen. Hockey game going on, and Minnesota Wild are up 3-1 going into the third period. So let's go Wild. I know you're a big hockey fan. That's why I brought it up, Jerry.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us on the Rad Reality Show Survivor Recap Edition. Hope everyone is doing well out there in reality world. Glad to see everyone in the chat room tonight. Hi, Jen. Hi, Chatown Joe. Hello, all of our guests out there. Love to see you out there joining us. We have a few people on the switchboard. If you call in, sometimes hitting one works, and sometimes you have to hit it more than once. So
right now, we don't show anybody that's on the switchboard that has pushed one. So if that is you and you meant to push one, you need to push it again. Do we want to tease them at all with not all the details, but what kind of we did in the last 20 minutes? And we're all wondering if any of them will come through. I mean, you don't have to get specific, but how about the numbers? You want to talk about or just let slide? Cherry and I didn't discuss this ahead of time, so I hope I didn't put you on the spot.
We don't know who may be calling in tonight.
There was a last minute attempt that somebody sent out a huge number of messages to, and we have no idea if any of them will come through, but if even a small percentage comes through, it will be. I'm freaking out a little bit, Cherry, just thinking about some of the possible people that we threw out there an invite to call in tonight, because there's some pretty neat people from Survivor seasons. And
hey, Red.
It could be fun.
Red Wine.
Hi, Red Wine.
What's up?
Hey, I have to tell you something, Cherry. And I was very restrained at not mentioning it earlier when we were on the telephone, but I have another, all right, wild, 4-1. I have another little surprise clip that I uploaded, and all I will say is I need a couple minutes near the end. It's a clip that I want to play before we do the closing clip. So leave me room prior to closing clip so that I can play this one that I uploaded.
Is this going to make me cry?
I don't know. What does it make you cry? Hey, Seymour. Seymour, I don't know if you follow hockey, but 4-1 Wild. Anyway, I'm totally taking over this conversation. I apologize, Cherry.
I want to throw this out there before we start Survivor also. And I can't give out any clues, but to everyone who is listening, I can't urge you any more than to be present on Manic Monday this Monday. Do not miss it. If you have to call in off of work, if you have to get a babysitter, if you have to, you know, whatever you got to do, be there for Manic Monday this Monday. Just
hey guys,
be there.
I did say 4-1. Guys, Cherry, what are you doing to me now? You never said anything to me about this. Now, let's end the show so I can call you and find out what the hell you're talking about.
Boy.
All right, so
I know you're going to be there.
Well, yeah, but now I want to know what you're saying. You're not going to give any clue other than what you said. Why can you say why you wouldn't tell us right now? Is it in case you jinx it? And what you're implying is that there is a guest that people would not want to miss listening to on Manic Monday. I assume that's what you're getting at, right?
It's going to be fun. I'm telling you, you want to be at Manic Monday this Monday. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, guys, we're going to end the show now so I can call Cherry and as we often do, call each other after the show because now I need to know. You're driving me nuts.
It's going to be the start of something really fun. And
okay.
You got to be there.
All right.
So,
are you going to tell me when the show's over tonight? Or are you keeping the secret from me, too? I'm putting this out there right on the air. It's great. Anyway, I'm sorry, Cherry. By the way, I do recognize that area code. We've had that same area code on the switchboard before, Cherry, that it's been somebody just listening. So that's why I didn't need to pick it up. At any rate, teaser.
So what did you think of Survivor, Paul?
Well, you know, I do want to get and talk about it. And what I thought about it, I thought it was a pretty good one. I mean, some things were kind of, in my mind, somewhat predictable before the show even started. But I'm also wondering, do we need to talk any other topics or any other things, wondering if we need to save it for somebody comes on. Maybe not.
Well, we could do a little promo for somebody who joined us recently.
All right.
And This is somebody who just joined us, and we always appreciate him coming on the show, and hope he's listening. We love him, and this is what he always tells everyone who listens to him.
Yeah, hello everybody, this is Cowboy from Survivor, Cook Islands, number 13. Come to my Facebook page, Eat More Rice. Give me some money, I'll buy rice for people. Okay, I'll give you back a bumper sticker. Take a picture and send it in. Thank you. Yeah, I'm a racist, are you?
I love that guy.
He is one of, he's an original.
He's so much fun. He sees the glass half full all the time.
Yeah. And it's also the kind of, I've never been somebody that has lived on boats or anything like that, but if it was, you know, if there was something that I would pick as a kind of a unique way to live, what he's doing in Key West and living on a boat, it just seems like the most relaxing lifestyle, and I'm envious of that. Just kind of.
Yeah, he's always out there giving back, you know.
Yes.
And doing things for others, and I respect that so much. He doesn't play up to his notoriety. He simply goes out there and helps people, and I respect that so much.
Hey,
he's just a good-hearted guy.
In the interim to, you know, we did do this, what I was, you know, talking about as far as the possible survivor people to call in. We did this at the very last minute, and it's very possible that there's not a single person that will call in. So perhaps if anybody that's in the chat or listening that does want to call in and join, you know, on the air, their thoughts about yesterday's Survivor show. It's 347-237-5506, and just feel free to call in, especially Jen. No, I'm just teasing Jen. She's always chicken.
We can't get that girl to call in ever.
I know, it's just not right. But no,
it's not like we bite or anything.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, and it's not like we haven't talked with each other before. It's not like we're strangers or anything. Anyway, the show, you know, starts off with Ozzy going to Redemption Island in the middle of the night. You know, I got to thinking today, and I don't know of anybody past contestants that have been in the same situation that can ask the question, but I've been curious. Do you think that she has had like a cameraman and sound man stay there with her, or do they leave at night or during the day? And I wonder how much solitary it is for her, or whether there's actually cameraman there all the time, or do they leave her there alone and then show up and say, you got anything to say to us today? I mean, I just wonder how lonely she was out there. And then I get to thinking, okay, she's got to expect somebody is going to be showing up. But wouldn't you have jumped, you know, when somebody comes sneaking up to you in the dark of the night in the middle of the woods and you're sleeping and all of a sudden you hear something? I mean, that would scare
Yeah, I would imagine that there are some survivor people there with her. I don't think they would just leave her out there totally alone.
What?
Right now is for security reasons.
She needs somebody in case, God forbid, a snake bite or something. Yeah, you're
right.
Right.
There would be, you know, security issues. So I'm sure that there is survivor, you know, employees, so to speak, or some sort of survivor people out there with her at all times. Now, how much they actually interact with her,
I see red
that
line.
May not be very much. And so she probably is secluded in how much she gets to actually talk to people and feels very secluded. And that's what they want, is to, you know, have that person feeling very, very secluded.
And apparently it worked, because we saw a couple weeks ago where she kind of broke down and saying how much it was getting to her. So
I'm sure they keep their distance from her is what I guess what I'm trying to say. They don't have very much interaction yet. They're there. So probably someone walking around in the night probably isn't so startling, because they're probably there all the time, although they don't interact with her very much. So
I see what Red Wine has mentioned in there, and it's so true that, you know, imagine you have people there, you're dying to talk to them, and the rules are you can't talk to them. It must be a really weird dynamic. Actually,
right.
As I look down, that's not how the show opened. It opened with them coming back to camp and them just piling on to Cochran. Pile on to Cochran. Keith, I wrote it down. Keith said to Cochran, "I don't live my life having others fight my battles for me." He was still upset that Cochran didn't go instead of Ozzy's wishes, you know what I mean?
Right.
But do you think that it was editing, or do you think that Christine guessed Cochran on the first time? I mean, when Ozzy said, "Guess who pulled the idol?" Do you think she came up with three or four guesses, and finally she said Cochran, and then they edited out the other guesses? I think about editing shit. I don't know why I think about that.
I don't know, because, you know, he did say, "How did you know?"
I know.
So she might have guessed it on the first guess.
And they had never really met each other before either, being on different tribes, so.
But, you know, he had his role all figured out before he went there. He had given it a lot of thought. Although when they actually went to the duel, his theatrics were not well received.
Well, before we talk about that, the first thing was we immediately, and obviously the contestants that were in the duel, immediately when they see not two people in the stands but the whole tribe, immediately we all knew, without anybody saying anything, they were all there because there was a merge coming up. So I'm sure that one thing Ozzy was glad to see, because that was one thing he was worried about, that pulled this move and there wasn't a merge.
Right, there could be another challenge left, and then his tribe would be without him going to another challenge.
Right.
But they were all correct in their assumption that they were heading to the merge, and timing was dead on, and all the tribes, all the people in both tribes were present for the duel, and Jeff announced that whoever won the duel would not be going back to Redemption Island, but would be
re-entering
the game of Survivor. And so with that,
Ozzy
gave his theatrical speech, and it just was not well received at all.
You know, I knew it was coming. We all knew the strategy from, you know, the previous episode, that this is what they were going to do. And Cochran had his role, and Ozzy said what he was going to say and why they were going to do this, and, you know, in front of the other tribe. So I knew it was coming. I didn't think of it as being unbelievable. But obviously they picked up on it, and they show Albert turning to Coach and saying, "I don't buy it," you know. But did you feel he wasn't selling it? Did it seem ingenuous to you as a fan?
I didn't see, you know, it seemed to me, like, you know, it was believable enough. But I think the other tribe, I think Coach.
Oh, my God.
Had kind of somewhat figured out their strategy or plan before, I mean, like, on the minute. I mean, I think that he figured out what was going on real quick.
And I think it's because of Coach having played the game, his intelligence that and knowing all the possible twists and turns that he could totally see that this was a ruse.
Right.
And I can't wait till we can talk and find out a little more of the background with, you know, if we can.
Oh, I know. I know. I can't wait to get him on the show. I just can't wait to find out. I have so many questions in my head for him.
I also knew, well, I shouldn't say knew, but I had a strong feeling when we saw next week on Survivor and we saw that it was, you know, grabbing keys, because we saw a peek of that in last week's episode, what the duel is going to be.
Right.
I totally thought that it would benefit Ozzy, that Ozzy would probably put together a more stable poll. And I'm not downplaying Christine, but we've seen these kind of competitions before on Survivor where they had to strap together a bunch of sticks on a pole. And the key is tying more than one rope at the joint. And
but Christina had done that as well.
Not as securely or as many. I think I saw one close-up. There was at least three for each joint that Ozzy put on him. And he took his time while she was, you know, going much quicker. And she stuck the pole out there first to get a key, and you could just see that her pole. I mean, as she started.
It was really weak from the very beginning.
Yep.
He wasn't placing his poles. He was. Hers had a little more length to them. She was placing them end to end, very close to the end of each other. And his, he was placing, giving them a little more stability.
Overlap.
And overlapping them a little more before he tied them together. And I think that is what. It didn't give him quite the length that she had, but
right.
It gave him the stability of his pole that kept his pole strong and kept his pole together, and that's what got him through. He didn't have to readjust his pole, and that's what took up the time for her. And it got him through the game, and he was able to get all three keys, and she was still working on her pole before she got her first key.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think she got a single key before he finished.
No.
Because her pole ended up breaking apart, I think, at one point. So, I mean, she was never, never in that competition. And
But haven't every time she went into a duel, haven't you thought that
I know,
the contender
I know.
Against her was going to win?
Yeah, I figured you'd remember that. Well, yeah, every time somebody was sent to Redemption Island, I said that person's going to beat Christine's ass. And I was wrong every single time, so.
It was funny when she threw her buff in the fire. She says, you might want to stand back. This thing might explode. The poor girl has been out there for so long.
Oh, I want to see. I'm not saying that I want Ozzy to win or anything, but I enjoy him being on the show. But I also was really pulling and hoping that Christine could get back in the game. So it was like, oh, who am I rooting for? You know, it was really tough because it was sad to see her go. And
it was tough. It was really tough to see her go after seeing her win so many consecutive duels, and
battling,
you know, her. After all of that, you want to see her get that chance to go back in.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like she deserved it,
and not
to
only
see her go after all that was kind of sad.
Right. Not only the competitions, but also as she battled the demons of being out there for so long, you know, it was the emotional things that she had, you know, been put through, and you're kind of rooting for her to, you know. So that was tough to see her go.
Right.
I'm sorry if I forgot who mentioned it in the chat room, but somebody said that, you know, hopefully what she did will gain her another show, you know, Christine, that is, because she really battled.
She did. And it would be fun to get her, you know, on at some point. I hope she will join us here on the Rad Reality Show and talk with us about what it was like out there on Redemption Island for her for so long, and being the winner of so many challenges. And
not only that, she said that was her 40th birthday. Did you catch that?
Right. That was her 40th birthday gift to herself. So, I mean, for someone of that age, not that that's old by any means.
No.
Trust me. But to play that game and to be put in especially that position, being singled out on Redemption Island, being so alone and, you know, being in that seclusion for so long, I commend her. You know, you go, girl. I mean, she held it together and really showed what a strong woman she is. And I, you know, I'd love to have her on the show and talk to her about what that experience was like. And
what
I
agree. What is her background again? I forget. At some point, I stop when they put their names up there. At some point, I forget and I stop reading what they do in the outside world. What was her occupation? I forget already. Does anybody in that room remember?
Somebody help us out here. I don't recall either.
But
anyone know what Christina's background was?
Then obviously Ozzy wins, she exits, and they announce the merge. And I don't know. I pick up on little things and wonder what the meaning of it or why they do it. But Jeff throws the bag of buffs up to Cochran. 5-1 wild. I don't know. I was worried that Jeff was going to spill the beans, but I suppose that wouldn't be fair for him to do that. You know, well, Ozzy, here you are. You wanted to be here. You know. You know, it would have just spoiled the whole thing if Jeff said, well, Ozzy, you told your, how you feel about it now that you told your tribe to vote you out to be here. You know, I suppose he wouldn't.
Thank you, Red Wine. She was a teacher in New York, Merrick, New York.
Okay. Yep. I love our chatters. You got to be here all the time.
We have the best chatters.
We need Red Wine in here to, sounds like she's a good Googler. She knows right where to go. Anyway, I really need to talk about this. And it seems at this time, when the merge happens, it is most appropriate. We do know, obviously, watching the rest of the show, what ends up happening. But if Ozzy hadn't made this choice, and Cochran goes out there, how do you think Cochran, do you think Christine could have beat Cochran? I guess
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, that would mean that Christine would have come back in the game. And unless there was, you know, some, you know, big turn of events that would cause her, Christine had come to hate her original tribe. I mean, she, every time she would see them at the duels, I mean, it was just clear that she was very angry at what they had put her through and had voted her out. She would have gone over to Ozzy's tribe. Cochran would have gone home. Christine would have come back in and said, Ozzy, I'm with you 100% after what they did to me. And none of these little tricks or little schemes or anything like that would have happened. And Cochran would not have gone over to the other side. Christine would have been solid with the votes and the plans, in my opinion. I think this was a major mistake. I mean, it was good for TV to think that Ozzy stood a chance of, you know, getting beat and leaving the game, you know, and it was good TV to see all this little make-believe strategy they were trying to, you know, pull.
And he thinks that he made the biggest move ever on Survivor, yet had he just sent Cochran, he would have gained Christina.
Yep.
They would have gained control of the game. You know, it would have been in their control. And now it's flipped.
Yep.
And Team Coach has control. So was it really the biggest move made on Survivor, the biggest, boldest move?
No.
You know, I mean, sure, he put himself out there. It was, you know, he did think about it. It was a bold move. But the end result is what truly matters. And the end result put his team down in numbers because the person that he left in the game and trusted flipped on him.
Well, but there, you know, here you have a person that you have targeted on your tribe as an outsider in Cochran. The whole time you were there, the previous challenge, you're banging your fist on the wall, you're pissed as all get out. I'm talking about Ozzy when Cochran was at fault for tangling up the ropes in that challenge. He is mad as hell, and it wasn't the first time that he, you know, belittled Cochran. It wasn't the first time that Cochran had felt like he was scrambling every week just to stay in the game. And you don't doubt that Cochran would be a lot easier to flip than Christine, who had been on Redemption Island and not been, you know, targeted and belittled, you know, in that tribe. It would have been better to have her rather than Cochran join their tribe. It's just, so in my opinion, it was kind of good for TV, but no, it was a bad move on Ozzy's part.
That's so true. And like Red Wine just said, when he said, I flipped, I'll explain. How do you explain that? You know?
Yeah.
How do you explain I flipped? You know? Like Red Wine said, I would have liked to have heard what he was going to say to them.
Yeah.
What are you going to say to that?
Well, he, I'm sure, comes up with something that he hopes to say for any of those situations, but he's not going to be able to sell it. He's not going to be able to sell it at all. Now, after they came back from the merge, and I think one of the first scenes was Cochran sitting on the beach talking, you know, or near the beach talking with Coach. And Coach lays out almost to the T the details of what he believes they were doing. Between Ozzy going there, between him not having, you know, between, you know, Cochran not having the idol, and Cochran, you could just, the camera showed his face, and it was like, oh my God, he knows everything, you know, coach knows it all, he just told me exactly. That was one of the masterful moments, I believe, that, of coach, and starting to reel Cochran in to their side, although he was a willing, you know, participant, I think, to some extent, Cochran was, to hearing that. But coach just continues to impress me every time. Don't you agree?
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, it is. And as far as me using the term abuse towards Cochran, I don't know. We might throw terms like that around too loosely. It was more, there's towards Cochran more of a lack of respect, more towards you are weak. You're not, you know, you haven't pulled your weight in the tribe. You know, he was always somebody on the chopping block for him from the core four or five that had aligned with each other. Just little comments towards Cochran from some of these people that seem, you know, I guess using the term abused Cochran was a little harsh. I don't know if you need to use that term to describe it, but I think, and so many people that we've talked to, even past survivors, you know, we would watch some interviews like from Virginia when survivors were on, and Kevin was interviewing them and asking them if they're watching the current season and who they like. It seemed like everybody had a little smile on their face saying, oh, I love Cochran. I think he has now gotten into a pretty good position.
Yeah, but, you know, do you really think that Coach's team is going to put them above anyone that they've been?
Well,
they're the entire.
All right, who do we have? We've got Coach, we've got Albert, we've got
Jim and Sophie.
Those three, I think, are probably the closest. Throw in, you've got Brandon, who for the first week did not get much airtime and did not make some stupid comment and did not, you know, flip in his feelings. But he's always kind of a person that maybe if they were to let one of their, well, now they're merged, so it's not the same. So we don't. It's hard to know what the voting would be like. If anybody from that original Upolu tribe wins, or wait a minute, it really doesn't matter. You know who wins an individual immunity. And the other thing is, do you think it was just this week only that there were two, one for a girl, one for a guy? They don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't do that. Yeah.
So there's going to be one immunity.
One single immunity.
Right.
Necklace,
okay.
Or idol.
All right. Right now, as far as a voting block, it really doesn't matter by tribe because they're all one tribe now. And why the hell do they continue to name a new tribe? It doesn't matter, you know. At any rate, I'm getting off track. You've got six or seven people now that are going to vote the same way.
Right.
Cochran is no way going to go back and become part of his old tribe.
No.
Sophie's never going to go back or at this point. Albert's not going to go back. Coach is not going to go back. Edna, I don't know. I think she's pretty loyal. And Brandon is just a wild card at times. You just don't know what's going to set him off at any point, and he'd change his mind. So there is Cochran's going to be around for a long time. Who's going to vote Cochran off unless there's like an idol played and, you know, one vote goes to him and all the others are voided or something like that. But I think Cochran now is set for quite, you know, to be there for a long time. And we're going to see Keith, Jim, Ozzy are probably going to be the targets first. Don probably is going to stay in because they'll, you know, the original Upolo is going to go after those three guys first.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. There can be a lot of manipulating go on now that they've merged, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because you've got two very strong
leaders,
seasoned survivors left in there, and there's players in there who are still starstruck.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, look at the people. Look at the Cochran fans. Look at all of them that feel he's in the final three. Wow.
Yeah. And Dawn, I think Dawn, Jody just said she would like to see her in the end. Dawn has been a real surprise to a lot of people, as far as maintaining in the competitions. I don't think people expected her to be as strong in the competitions as she has been. And sometimes that will get you far, and sometimes that will be seen as a threat by some. And when they're looking to get someone out, oftentimes, you know, they look to get a woman out, and the women will say, well, we got to get her out, you know. And it could hurt her. But...
You know what?
I've been really proud of her for
her
accomplishments in the competitions. I think she's done really well, and I think she should be proud of herself for what she's done there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. There's also the variable that comes into play. Sometimes it comes in too quickly, where people look at bringing a weaker player to the final three because they feel like they would lose to, you know, the jury would say, you know, that person just got brought along, they didn't do anything, you know what I mean?
Right, right. They don't want somebody there that's won competitions.
Right.
So it's, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But once they went to the competition, the Coconut Challenge, I guess we'll call it,
What about the name of the new tribe?
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't help but think about Jeff of Big Brother. Oh, well, it doesn't mean it, but the name of the new tribe is T-E space Tuna, Tatuna. I will never forget Tuna in Jeff's season. Tuna. Based on the story of how the coconuts came to be. Now, who comes up with that shit? Do they give them a little storybook?
I don't know. Did a storybook fall out of the coconut tree?
Oh, no. Keith,
along with one of the coconuts? Or I don't know.
All right, first of all, Keith, and Seymour knows this, Keith is a local Minneapolis guy and is, you know, somebody I've been a favorite of mine because of that, and he's played a pretty good game. Sad to see that he's, you know, got a challenge, but, you know, to fight for it now. But Jeff says, Keith, have you decided on a new tribe name? And he goes, Tatuna, based on the story of how the coconut came to be, and he has this ridiculous little laugh. And the camera shoots over at Brenda, who looks back at him like, what was that silly, goofy laugh? It was.
I know.
But, yeah.
I thought of you when he got voted out and sent to Redemption Island because I knew he was your favorite, Anna.
Yeah.
So I knew you would probably take it kind of hard that he was sent to Redemption.
Did you see what Red said? Our tribe is Technotronics.
Yeah. Tribe Neanderthal. It's pronounced Neanderthal. By Red Wine.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love them.
Anyway, so, yeah, and so then all of a sudden they show that it's going to be, you know, as soon as he uncovers, there's two necklaces there, and we know immediately there's going to be two. And I like that they gave one woman and one guy that with that large number of people in the new tribe. And holy cow, I did not expect Edna to drop so quickly. But all she did was...
It went up against her body.
Body, yeah. I think
yeah,
she was...
Yeah, and so she went out first.
And then Cochran, do you think Cochran didn't try?
I don't know. He fell off his perch. The kid just... I don't know if that was intentional. You know, I think he knows that he isn't going to make it far, and so why should he wear himself out, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. He's not going to win one of these challenges, I think is what he thinks in his head, and so why should he...
And he also doesn't all, you know, and I don't think he would have either, but if he really was able to put his mind to it and do that thing at this point, would he want to all of a sudden be viewed as... Oh, he's no longer a weak, you know, weak player. So I'm kind of thinking he didn't really try that hard. And then Whitney drops her coconut.
Well, first of all, they got to rest. They made it to the second round. So they got to put their coconut down, and then they extended their rope. And then they took the coconut back after they extended their rope. And then Whitney dropped her coconut. She went out third. And then that left only two women left. And then Sophie dropped her coconut.
Whitney.
As the fourth out.
Whitney, then Sophie is the order I had, but it was very close.
Yeah, Whitney, and then that left two women left, and then Sophie. And she was the fourth out, and that meant that Dawn won immunity for the women, and then that put her at fifth out. And then,
am I incorrect, though, to say that don't they say that women have a better sense of balance? Isn't that...
Usually speaking.
Yeah. I mean, in the gymnastics, you know, Olympic, you know, those gymnastic competitions, they have that balance beam. And any time I've seen those kind of competitions, they seem to have a better balance than the guys. So I was kind of thinking that they would... But nobody fell off the perch. None of the women fell off the perch, did they?
No.
Okay. It was just the rope holding the coconut.
Right.
Well, he never said it, but do you know what I would have done? And I'm sure it would have been illegal, but just because Jeff didn't say it, I would have twisted that rope.
Yeah, I'm sure that wasn't legal.
But then I saw somebody let the coconut roll towards one of the handles.
Right. I think that was Cowboy Rick.
Maybe that would be a good strategy, you know, when the ropes got longer, just roll it down to where they are closer at the handle.
Coach went out next, six. That left six guys standing. Cowboy Rick went out seventh. Jim went out eighth. Keith right behind him at ninth. Then they got another rest. And at this point, they're moving on to the last phase of the competition. They will have a winner, and he did mention that it was one of the hottest days they've had out since they've been out there. So you could see the sweat dripping off of everyone out there as they're doing this. It was very, very hot. The last three remaining were Brandon, Ozzy, and Albert. Brandon dropped his coconut. He went out 10th. Then Albert dropped his coconut, which made Ozzy the winner of the male immunity idol. So it was Ozzy and Dawn who won the immunity idol necklaces for the challenge, and that put their tribe, if they would have gone for rocks.
Anyway, before we go to that next point, I wanted to mention this a few episodes back. It's more of a question I've wanted to ask people that have been on Survivor, because I write down notes and I write down days. This episode, about two or three episodes ago, there was a day skipped. There was a day skipped this time, too. And it's like, okay. They went from day 19 to day 21. And I'm sitting there always thinking, what happened on day 20? What were you guys doing? But they actually, I don't know if anybody else notices when that happens. It's maybe it's just a Paul thing. I don't know. But
they used to have the competition so that they had a reward challenge and then the immunity challenge. And now they seem to have it, you know, all
right
combined with the Redemption Island
Duel,
and then it goes straight into the competition as far as taping and editing goes. So I don't know if that really has a lot to do with it, but since they've cut out the competition for reward, it seems like that's had a lot to do with the days that we see taping and that kind of thing. So I'm wondering if that has a little to do with it.
I have heard Survivor guests that come on, and they always talk about when the taping is done and they're at home watching the season. They're always curious the kind of editing that's going to be done. And I just sit there and wonder, okay, they see a day pop up, day 19, and they see some things going on, and you're going to say, oh, I remember that day. That's when blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah happened. And then they skip a day. It's like, are they sitting there going, man, I had my best moment on day 20, and they skipped it. I had a real moment. The other thing that I wonder about on the merge is how often did we see, of course, they wanted Cochran to infiltrate anyway, so I just answered my question. What I was going to say is they showed, you know, Cochran over sitting on the beach with the other tribe a lot. And
right.
I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't look good to, but he was actually sent over there with Blessing, so to, you know, get information, but.
But then he, once he's talking to Coach flat out tells him, you know, I don't believe this shit for a minute. And whether what you're telling me is the truth or what you're telling me is a lie, here's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he lays it down on the table, you know, and tells him what he believes. And what he believes is exactly on point, you know. And I think it threw Cochran for a loop. And so then what Cochran did was spill his guts and tell him that he is over there to gather information.
Yep.
And he totally changes his song and dance and strategy, and sort of becomes one of them.
Yep.
And
it didn't take very much. I mean, once he saw how smart Coach was.
Yep.
It was like, okay, I give up. Here it is. I'm going to tell you everything.
Yep. It was like Coach had a six-shooter of wits held against to his head.
He didn't have to. Coach
Cochran
didn't have to
wave the white flag.
Coach didn't have to put any bamboo sticks under Cochran's fingernails or anything. I mean, it was pretty easy.
Yeah. This guy's smarter than I am, that's for sure. I'm waving my white flag right now. It was funny to watch Coach in action. I mean, he laid it out on the table and told him just like it was. And he said, you know, that I know what it's like to be superior to people in one way, so they find ways that you're inferior in other ways and cut you down. And I think that was sort of his line to let Cochran know, I know that you're superior in intelligence,
right,
just
and,
like
and
me.
Coach also recognized Cochran being kind of somebody that was likely, you know, picked on, a nerdy, kind of intelligent, nerdy person, and immediately said, I have been there, I have done that, I understand your pain. I mean, it was just, Coach is just masterful, just masterful. And
did you just see what Red Wine put in the chat room?
I did. Did you see my LOL and Joe's?
If I belong to a group of people who like Cochran, does that make me part of a Cochran? I love you.
Or the podcasters, they would like say, what are they laughing about? What are they saying?
That's great, Red Wine. I love you. I guess if you belong to a group of people who like Cochran, that might make you part of a Cochran.
I am also, and this started probably a few episodes back, I am really, and for such a long time, it was somebody that wasn't getting a lot of airtime or seemed to be on the periphery of, you know, I'm part of the core group, but never got to see anything impressive. I'm really impressed with Sophie.
Yes, Sophie definitely called Coach, Ozzy out at Tribal,
mm-hmm.
On his performance, and said I was offended that the six of them thought that we would believe that, and found the charade to be somewhat over the top and somewhat pathetic.
Pathetic. I couldn't remember. That was the word I was trying to remember. Yep.
And Ozzy's response says, well, maybe it was a little lackluster or maybe too over the top. And you guys are right. I do have the idol. Or rather, we have the idol.
Yeah. But before we talk more about Tribal, how about when Cochran goes back, before Tribal, goes back and is talking with Sophie, and he totally spills exactly who the other tribe is going to throw their votes towards, and then he asks Sophie, you wouldn't tell me who you guys are going to vote for, would you?
And she's like, no.
No. But he goes there and he completely tells them that that his original tribe feels like they're going to vote for Whitney. And the reason you put Whitney up there is you consider her a weaker in comparison player to one of the guys. And if it goes tied after two rounds, then that person cannot be voted for or does not have to pull the rocks out. You know, they survived two rounds of being tied. They are now immune from pulling, you know, colored rocks out of the bag to see who goes home. So
right.
He totally tells Sophie and, you know, the other tribe, you know, this is who they expect you to vote for. So they obviously said, okay, we're not going to vote for Whitney because that's
yeah.
effect. And what happens, that's who Ozzy gives his idol to. And, of course, the first name comes up from the other tribe, and it says
Keith.
And they all just go, oh, shit, a waste of your idol. It didn't work.
We've been had.
Yep. So, I mean, they're just, you know, the old Upolu tribe is just, at this point, playing a far superior game, and they seem to be so much stronger, you know.
What I don't understand is why nobody on that tribe thought to even, like, split the votes, you know, split the, just in case he wasn't telling the truth.
Well, that's taking a chance, though.
Yeah, but,
What you're saying is the six votes that the Upolu tribe had, three to Keith and three to Whitney? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, they could have split just in case Cochran told them a lie. They could have.
No, that would not work, dear. If they split, if the Upolu tribe split them 3-3, there's six votes that are going to Rick.
That's true. But, and see, Ozzy had to give the idol to somebody, so that wouldn't have worked either. I just don't see that there should have been some way, somebody. Well, what Ozzy should have done and what all of them should have done much sooner was try to make Cochran feel much more like he was part of that tribe. And
but it was really too late. I mean, it was a possibility if Cochran didn't mess up that and tangle that rope up. Before that happened, he was starting to be more of a part of that tribe. But
right.
That pissed Ozzy off so much and dropped him down, Cochran down, even further in everybody's eyes, that any progress that he had made up till that point was gone after that challenge. And there was not enough time in the day or two that was left for that to be repaired, I don't think. It was too late, and Keith was, you know, one of the people.
Keith
that,
was livid.
Yeah, he felt that Cochran had no place. You know, he needed to go and fight his own battles, and did not, you know, agree with that choice. But
and he came back and was still really, really pissed at Cochran. Even though he, you know, he participated in writing Ozzy's name down and sending him to redemption, he was still really, you know.
Yeah, he came back that night after the tribal and just, you know, berated
Cochran really bad. Yeah, and but he was, you know, he was in on the plan. I mean, he wrote Ozzy's name down. It wasn't like he said, no, I'm not going to do this. He was part of it. So
well, yeah,
at that point, I think he should have said, okay, we're going to do this. You know, I'm with my tribe and let it, you know, go. But he was just so angry, he couldn't let it go. And, you know, at that point, I don't know if what, I mean, Cochran's going to be seen as somebody who, you know, flipped from his tribe and all that, but we'll see now how it plays out for him and how far he makes it.
Well,
in.
Cochran even made that comment to, you know, the other tribe. He said, if I do this, are you going to look at me as somebody that can't be trusted because I've already turned against my tribe? Are you going to think that I might turn against you guys? And so, I mean, he recognized that that dilemma. And I think they... what?
He was really up against a rock and a hard space, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The guy has been fighting for his life right out there since day one.
Here is something that maybe our chatters will know, or maybe it will be posted somewhere on a Survivor, you know, on the CBS Survivor site, and it will be answered. But on the second vote, there was a card pulled out that had Keith's name on it, and right after the name Keith, there were three initials, and I think there were periods between each one of these that said PDH. Did you notice that?
I did.
And the camera flashed over Keith, and he kind of looked real quizzical, like, what the fuck does that mean? And I don't know what it means, and I waited until they showed all the votes, you know, at the very end of the show, where they show everybody coming up there and with the names written.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Albert. Albert had written that down. Albert wrote Keith's name, and right after Keith, it said PDH. Does anybody in the chat room have any idea what that signified? Or do you, Cherry? I certainly can't.
I do not know what that means. There must be something behind it, but I have no clue what that means.
A lot of times I will see somebody add a little something and I'm able to figure it out, but this one, I have no clue.
No idea.
And then obviously we're at the point then when the votes are through where Cochran confesses and says, yeah, I was the person that flipped. And then he started getting berated, and Jim especially. A couple of
coward.
Times.
Coward.
Coward. And then Brandon turns around and tells Jim to not talk like that to Cochran. And tells Jim, this is why it happened, you know. Why
that's what you get.
Yep.
For treating people, for talking to people like just like you just did, or something like that.
Which, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not a big Brandon fan because he's just too wacky for me and keeps flipping all the time with, you know, how he looks at things and people and who he hates and who he likes and who he's, you know, he's just like, I don't get this guy. But I did get that, and I appreciated him doing that. You know, I give him props for saying that. I mean, I totally understand why they were upset, but you don't need to say those kind of things. But in the moment, I'm sure that it was like all of a sudden they realized they were screwed. I mean,
yeah.
to start with the thought that they were gaining an advantage at the merge to now being at a huge disadvantage. You know?
And Ozzy thinking he had just made the biggest, boldest move in Survivor history, and it was going to gain them this advantage, and they were going in there with such a high.
And Ozzy no longer has his hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, he's played that and for naught. That was wasted. And he was just played by somebody who he had just trusted with his idol.
Yep. Well, and it was perfect strategy, and, you know, I don't think he would have taken, you know, at that point, not giving it back to him, but it was a perfect thing for Cochran to pull out of his pocket and say, yep, here it is. Cochran certainly could have said, you know what, I don't really trust you guys. I'm going to keep this.
And flip.
Yeah.
He could have went to the other tribe with the idol in his pocket.
So right now we've got Coach is the only person holding a hidden immunity idol, and if memory serves, they will probably reintroduce another hidden immunity idol.
Correct.
At some point, pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They always do once one is played.
This is, yeah, that's right. This is where everything starts over. I mean, it really does. The whole game and numbers and strategy is just, you know, a lot different with the merge. But at this point, at least, to me, it looks like, okay, they've got the numbers, and I don't see anybody flipping at this point. I don't see anybody, Ozzy or Jim, able to sway anybody else to come over to their side. Do you? Is there anybody? Maybe Edna. But
I don't see it. I just don't.
I don't see anybody. You got certainly Coach stays loyal. Sophie's going to stay loyal. Albert's going to stay loyal. Brandon's going to likely stay loyal unless something weird happens, and that's not, I don't think, a possibility. Edna is totally, you know, loyal to Coach. And Cochran, I'm missing somebody. No, I'm not. I think that's it. So I don't see any possibility for next week that we won't see Ozzy or Jim get picked off. They're not going to pick off Dawn. True.
I agree. I anticipate one of those.
It's going to be
happening, and
it's likely going to be Jim or Ozzy, and
depending on who wins the immunity.
Oh, that's right. Only one can win it if either of them win it, and so that's certainly what I foresee happening next week is either Jim or Ozzy. And if Ozzy doesn't have the individual immunity, I can totally see them sending him out to battle against Keith.
Oh, Jody just put in the chat room next week to go home.
Where did we see that? All right. Hi, John Crocker.
Hi, John Crocker. Why isn't he calling us?
Well, he does work a lot. And sometimes he'll go on a break and make phone calls. But, Jody, I didn't see that mention.
I didn't see that either. I missed that somehow.
According to Jeff on something last night, Belichick.
To tout. I was watching.
What is tout?
Tout is like a verbal Twitter. I kept up with tout until almost the very end, but I missed the very end, so it must have been toward the very end of tout last night.
Wow.
It's very cool. It's like a verbal Twitter. And when you watch Survivor, it's so much fun to have Jeff Probst on your Twitter. And also now on Tout, because Tout is so cool. He reads tweets that people are tweeting to him on Tout and responds to them verbally and gives buffs away to people that he likes their tweets. And All right. It's so cool. It's like having Jeff Probst watch Survivor with you as you're watching the show. It's just so nice.
He also said next week is brutal for Cochran. Okay, two people, how do they do that? I know they've had double eliminations, if you want to call it that, before, but I'm not remembering. Well, two people going home could be one person from Redemption Island. No? Because, wait a minute, Keith is there alone right now. He doesn't have a... All
right. Right. So, I was going to say we get to see how Keith does on Redemption Island and see how he takes being, you know, alone and secluded.
Hold on a second. So Keith's out there right now. They're going to have a tribal council that sends a second person to Redemption Island, and then they'll battle, and one of those two people would go home. That would make up one.
She says three will be at Redemption Island.
Two going home, that doesn't mean two going home. It means
three will be at Redemption Island.
One to Redemption Island. Oh, Jody, that's right. Remember? They do put three people. Remember last season for Redemption Island, they battled week after week after week after week, and then one person, I keep forgetting that kid's name, the blonde, long blonde-haired kid. And he finally goes back and gets voted out. And the next person, they had three people compete. Remember that?
Right, right.
And the person that beat the other two stays, and the two that lost go home. Yep. Okay. Thanks, Jody.
Wow.
Okay.
I love Survivor. They always keep it fresh. It's, you know, it stays somewhat consistent in some areas, but they throw enough changes in there to keep us coming back year after year. And I love the way they, you know, they keep it fresh enough so that it doesn't get boring. And I know some people don't like Redemption Island. Some people do. But it's another one of those twists, if you want to call it that, or changes that they put in the game that keeps
it a little different. Think back to when they first started doing a hidden immunity idol. I mean, that was, you know, the first time they did that, and look at the success of that. And I have at times in previous seasons said, oh, wish they wouldn't have so many of them. But it's now something that's ingrained, and it's part of the game, you know, and you like it. I still believe that Redemption Island was initiated for these returning players, you know, because CBS worried that, okay, we got, you know, these popular returning players, they're going to be targeted first, how can we try to keep them in longer? And Redemption Island was a way to keep them in the game longer. But I think, do you think that if they have a Survivor with all newbies, that they would still see Redemption Island continue? I'm starting to like it, I guess.
I heard Jeff Probst say last year, at the end of last season, that Redemption Island would be around for the next few years. Now, what that meant, I can't say, but apparently they like it enough that they do anticipate it being there for, you know, but I'm sure that's something that they discuss at the end of each season and say, okay, do we leave it in? Do we pull it? You know, they make those decisions as things progress. But apparently they liked it enough at the end of last season that he did make the comment that Redemption Island would be around for the next few years. So whatever that means, it sounded like they thought Redemption Island was a pretty big success for the show.
Yeah. All right. So we're approaching the final less than 10 minutes of the show, and I had mentioned to you, Cherry, that and just a reminder that I need a little time to surprise you. I also had a clip ready if there was somebody. I'll share with you off the air. I'm sorry.
Okay. So let's go ahead and hear your surprise.
Okay, well, this, I hid it from you, so I have to bring it up here. Where did I've got to search this audio clip. Blah, blah. Now I'm forgetting what I named it. let me try this. Apologize.
Now you're hiding things from me.
Of course, if I put it up there, you would have you would have known. Okay. Oh, I got too many hits from that. Let's see.
He's hiding things from me on the switchboard now, guys.
Anyway, do you have, you want to play the clip, the promo for?
We can do this one.
Next week or next show?
Monday with Michelle Costa, and it's at 7 p.m., and that's because it's best for me and Michelle to do it before Monday Night Football, and it's just better for the time on Monday.
I'm telling you all, you have to be at Manic Monday. Write it on your calendars. Tie a string around your finger. Put it in your phone. Just be there. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Manic Monday. No excuses. You have to be there.
Hey, you had mentioned, just double-checking with you, because this sounds important for people to be to the show, that Michelle might have other commitments and might need to change the start time. This is not the case. It will start at that time?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, guys. I apologize for the delay, but this was from the show that Ron did with Coach last year. It was on February 16th, which was the final show of his second season, and he was going to have his anniversary, his anniversary show the very next night. And the reason I bring that up is there's reference to, you know, what date this was and what show it was. And he was basically getting ready to close the show out, and I think that's all I need to say at this point, and here we go.
Tonight was a great show, and thank you guys for coming, and I'm going to quit off the show with a song, and something that is truly, I say thank you to y'all, like, song ain't working. Say thank you for coming to the show. You are so great, and I love you all. We thank you, for coming to the show, and fuck, I couldn't get the switchboard to work. Y'all there?
Yeah, that was rough.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt that gorgeous
I know.
Yeah, I looked up on the switchboard, and it said no longer streaming. I thought, thank God.
Yeah, me too, actually. Oh my gosh. But man, this season has been great. We had some great chatters. We've had some great times. We've had some good times. We've had some bad times. And I can't wait till tomorrow. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Night. Bye.
Did you like?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I forgot to mention that Michelle from the Bronx is up online as well. That's obviously who you heard in addition to Cherry and myself. But it was just, sorry, just Ron decided to start singing impromptu. And he stops and he laughs and he says, "Are you guys still there?" Oh my, and just love hearing his giggle. I love that giggle.
It's so wonderful to hear his laugh and his cheerfulness and hear those happy times, you know. It brings back, you know, those happy moments, and this is what he loved, and we wouldn't be working so hard to keep this show going if it wasn't so important to Ron. To hear him giggle and laugh and sing and just be so joyful is what it's all about, you know. This show meant so much to him, and all of you out there meant so much to him, and that is a treasured clip, and I thank you for playing that. That was awesome. And I made it without bawling, so. That was awesome, Paul. I enjoyed that immensely.
I'm glad.
It seems, you know, it's so weird when I hear those things because I'm on the fence. There's part of me that feels like it was just yesterday.
Exactly.
And part of me that feels like it was so long ago. Do you feel that way?
I do. I have another dynamic that comes into play, too, though, is doing all the editing. I hear this stuff, you know, a dozen times before I finish the editing and pull it up and replay it to make sure it's right and all this type of thing. But with all the archive shows that I listen to and I work on editing, it doesn't seem long ago. It seems like, for me, that he's still doing the shows. And I feel so unworthy doing these shows, because I know what a great job he did. And
I still agree.
How hard he worked at it, and I was able to just be part of it by calling in and supporting him. And it's just hard, you know, not to have him be running the whole thing, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And it's so wonderful that you can, and that you do, take the time, and I know it takes a lot of time, to sit and listen to those shows and find those treasured clips that you do, and I thank you so much for that. To share those with everyone, you know, that's what I wanted from the very beginning when we talked about continuing the show, was to always keep Ron part of the show, to start and close each show with Ron, and to keep him alive with us in these shows by utilizing as much as we can of past shows. And you're doing such a great job at going back and finding those treasures and, you know, bringing them up for all of us to revisit and hear again. And it touches all of our hearts. You can see it in the chat room. Everyone is saying how much they, you know, enjoy it. They remember those, that night. They remember they were there. You know, they remember that. And it's just...
And
appreciated by everyone. And
well, there are certain,
I can't thank you enough.
There are certain clips that, you know, start a show, end a show. You know what? You extended it. This is not a Survivor clip, but it is one that I put together because I knew how much Ron liked this particular moment, and whenever he talked to this Big Brother person, he always brought this up, and this is one that I did quite a number of weeks ago. When I came across it, I said, oh, I have to edit this one, and I haven't played it yet. It just never, they never seem to be a good time. This seems like a good time to play it. And I'm sure you'll all you will remember this particular clip.
Casey will be joining us tonight. But a little song for Casey. I was going to play a little theme song. This is my song for Casey.
Hey man, let me run inside, man, and go serve my hamburger helper. I'll call you right back.
Okay, you can do that.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll run something real quick while you do
well,
that.
Well, really, I'm going to pee, but I didn't think anybody wanted to listen to me pee.
Well, I'm going to play a song, so you guys just hold tight while Katie...
You got the man in a banana suit song? Man in a banana suit.
Okay.
No, anyway, I'll hold it back. I'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
Yes, and I'm going to play a song real quick while Casey has to go pee. And,
AKA Stir the Hamburger Helper. The wife's at work, so it's Hamburger Helper tonight.
Yes, so he'll be right back. Casey's back. Casey, how's the Hamburger Helper going?
Well, it's going well. The hamburger's burning nice. Got to drain it.
Every time Ron would have Casey on, he always brought up the Hamburger Helper. That was one of his favorite moments.
Yep. Really, I'm going to pee. Casey's so funny.
All right.
I tell you, there's so many happy moments.
There's some people asking again about Jeff maybe wasn't listening earlier. But Cherry is keeping a secret from us all, including myself, but that you do not want to miss the next Manic Monday show. But she's not really saying it's because necessarily because of a particular guest, although I've got to think that might be it, but that there's something that's going to happen. At any rate, do you want to address some of the people asking again?
It could be a number of things. I'm just going to say that surprises are in store, and you don't want to miss it. I'm giving you a heads up that you really want to be at this Manic Monday show.
Any of you guys remember how often that Ron would try to tease us and he could never stop himself? How many times he would, you know, say, oh, but I can't tell you, you know, what's going to happen, and then he would end up telling us.
Jerry can keep a secret better than Ron can.
I know. He could not help himself. And even when he tried to keep it quiet, he would accidentally slip up and say, oops.
I know. He was so bad at keeping secrets from us.
He was, but he was also, at times he would start to say, okay, in his head I could just see him thinking this, okay, I'm going to give little hints without telling him. And sometimes he would actually say the person's name, and he goes, oh, shit.
I know.
Oh,
I miss him so much. Gosh, I miss him so much. Oh, me. But I am going to keep this secret.
I know you are.
I will be looking for all of you on Monday. But before Monday, we have our amazing race show with Louis Stravato on Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You should all be at that as well. Louis does an amazing job at recapping the amazing race. And we always enjoy having Louis come in and do so on our show. He has such great insight because he's been there and done that. He knows what it's like to be on that race. And he can talk about that show like nobody else can. Everybody loves Louis. And to hear him give his viewpoint of the show is such a treasure, because you don't often get to hear someone who's actually been out there on the race get, you know, to hear what their viewpoint of the current race is. And it's so interesting to hear them talk about what they see from their vantage point watching a new episode of The Amazing Race. So join us on Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Louis Stravato. And you can call in, ask Louis questions, talk to Louis yourself. If you have a question that you'd always like to know about what goes on The Amazing Race, give us a call, talk to Louis, ask him what those, you know, questions are that you've always wanted to know about The Amazing Race. He'll answer anything you want to know.
What I always need him to do is to stop my head from spinning, because I find my head spinning trying to keep track of what's going on. And the last show that he was on, he helped me tremendously with that, because I was, and he even said that there's a lot of guests. I assume that you're reading the chat room, Cherry. I assume.
Yes, they have a lot of guesses, but.
Yeah, yeah. And, Joe.
You changed your Twitter name to Mr. Chi-Town Joe?
It's a better name than, I think it was ASAP, like as soon as possible. ASAP.
ASAP, Joe.
You know, but when I finally last time found it and I started following him, or I assume I sent him a request because he has to approve him, but I looked at the number of tweets and it said 0 tweets. So if you're going to solicit followers and you want people to follow, you have to start tweeting.
Yep.
Jump in with both feet, big guy. Anyway.
Okay, well, so.
So that's why.
Here's your homework assignments. 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night with Luis Jurado. 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday for Monday with Michelle Costa. And the surprises. So that's the homework. Sigh from Paul from Minnesota.
Yeah. All right, wait a minute.
Uh-oh, he's going to find some obnoxious clip for me.
No, this is what I have to say about you and your teasing.
It will all be fun come Monday.
Yeah.
It's only a few days away.
Okay.
And as soon as I hang up the phone, I'm going to take all my phones off the hook.
I'll just call and ask Rich.
Uh-oh.
All right, kiddo.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us. It's been a fun night. Next week,
we
should have a survivor here with us so that you don't have to listen to Paul and I alone. Hope you've enjoyed us anyway. We've had fun. But we hope to see you on Sunday and Monday. I hope you all have a great weekend. Thank you again for being part of the Rad Reality family. And I'm going to close the show, as I always do, with Ron. Again, I'd like to thank Paul for his surprise for me tonight, for the wonderful clips that he's put together for us. You all take care. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday and Monday. Here's Ron. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invite everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be sweet and
Good night, everyone. Take care.